Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna have a good day around here on the DA show every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. We're always laughing and learning. So join us every single morning right here on CBS Sports Radio. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the DA Show, we've got your best audio of the day, including a creative way to describe a creative interception yesterday. And in 40 minutes, speaking of Little Mo, Momentous Monday. As today, on a Monday, we always like to find a story that inspires us throughout the world of sports. You heard Little Mo's laugh in the middle of that. Going to have a good day open here on the DA Show. But let's begin with the NLCS. On Friday, all seemed lost. The Braves had a 3-1 series lead. The Dodgers would have to win three consecutive games just to make another World Series after a season in which they were the most dominant team in baseball. It's been an 8-year run for the Dodgers, 8 years of winning the National League West. Only two of those years ended in the World Series up until this one, and they've never actually claimed a World Series championship. And yet, down 3-1, all seeming lost, the Dodgers came roaring back to force a game number 7, and then last night happened.
2-2, 2-out. Martin's 23rd pitch, Bellinger, with a fly ball to right field. Cody Bellinger has just given the Dodgers a 4-3 lead.
I don't want to get too emotional, but I am. But I'm just so proud of these guys. It's been a crazy year. Guys away from their families, social injustices. Our fans are stuck together. These guys are stuck together.
That was Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. That is a teary-eyed Dave Roberts after the game. Hey, let me be the first to apologize to Dave Roberts. On Friday, I said, how can you keep bringing this guy back and expect different results? The Dodgers had been in the World Series only twice in the middle of this 8-year run. It hasn't all been Dave Roberts. There was Don Mattingly years early on in this run. But that the Dodgers year after year would have a dominant regular season and then flame out in the postseason. And it just seemed obvious it was going to happen again. After their bats came alive to win game number 3 to make it a 2-1 series, they had to win game 4. And then the Clayton Kershaw inning happened and Roberts had left him in too long and the bullpen imploded. And the Dodgers just seemed once again destined for an early October exit before their destination, which is winning a World Series. And down 3-1, the Dodgers didn't panic against a very good Braves team. And it's funny, when it was 2-1 and the Dodgers' bats had come alive in Game 3, I said, here come the Dodgers. I wouldn't want to be the Braves. Here come the Dodgers. And then the Braves won that game four. And I said, forget it. It's over. They're not going to win this series. The Dodgers are going to do it again. And they took game number five. They took game number six and forced a game number seven. And last night's game was phenomenal. They once again were in a tight affair, back and forth. And then Bellinger's home run is a titanic blast. He comes around the bases and celebrates with a forearm shiver to one of his teammates and pops his shoulder out of the socket. Yes, Bellinger hits a home run to take a lead late in the NLCS Game 7 to go to the World Series and pops his shoulder out of the socket celebrating. He's got to go into the medical area in the dugout, into the team area behind the dugout and get it popped back in, comes back out on the field and catches the final out of the game. An amazing comeback by the Dodgers. Really, truly amazing comeback by the Dodgers, because that's not easy against a good team like the Braves. But they've always had so much talent. And to watch Mookie Betts game-saving catches at the wall, robbing home runs, and the offense coming alive and big hits by Seager and big hits by Bellinger and just big pitching moments as well. You know, we just talked about in the last hour the three perfect innings at the end of this game by the Dodgers relief, that the Dodgers were a great team of the regular season. They've been a great team for a while, and they finally showed up when it mattered most, when their backs were against the wall. They have not done this a lot. They've been good front runners. But when they've been facing real adversity in the postseason, oftentimes they have not played well in those spots, and this time they did. So I give the Dodgers credit. I give Dave Roberts credit, because if I'm going to throw him out with the trash when they're down 3-1, I've got to give him a lot of credit when they come back from down 3-1. And the Roberts-led Dodgers are back in the World Series for the first time under him with a third try to try to win a World Series finally, their first since 1988. On the flip side, I love this Rays team. I've talked about how much I've loved this Rays team, and for some reason, I always felt like they would win this series, even when they were letting a 3-0 series lead melt away. You know, they're up 3-0, and it's 3-1, and you go, well, they're going to close out tonight. We talked about that the other night, and they didn't. And then they're up 3-2, they'll close out tonight, and then they didn't. And then it's 3-3, and all of the pressure is on the Rays. I mean, no team had been down 3-0 and even forced a Game 7 outside of the 0-4 Red Sox. And the Astros were confident, and the Astros were experienced, and the Astros have future Hall of Famers on their roster, and the Astros just seemed poised to finish off this gruesome end to the Rays season. I mean, the Astros have a payroll $100 million more than the Rays. And even in the middle of this game, there are moments where you're going, oh dear, this is where it all falls apart. This is where the Rays are going to give it all up. And yet, you know, it was Tampa Bay who came out of the block swinging. They got the early 2-0 lead. They had built it up to a 4-0 lead, bottom six. The Astros had staged a comeback. It got real dicey late in that game, didn't it? Real dicey in the eighth and ninth innings. But the Rays end up clinching their spot, their second World Series berth ever, with a 4-2 win on Saturday. And I just love this Rays team because they are impervious to all of the things that normally keep and hold baseball teams back. Low payroll, cast-offs, no star players, allowing a 3-0 series lead to become 3-3 in a Game 7. They just seem like rules don't apply to them. The normal rules of engagement do not apply. And I just love that team. I love that they've got no stars. I love that they've got no names. I love that they love that they've got no stars and no names. And I'm pulling for them. I also love the fact that the Rays, by virtue of winning Game 7, are forcing Mraz to have his avatar as a Rays fan for yet another week. I love that part of it as well. But I don't know how. If you are just a sports fan, you don't root for the Rays unless you're kind of like a superficial sports fan that just like the stars, that just like star power because you don't know too much about the games. Because just the Rays story is so incredible. The Rays have the third lowest payroll in baseball, and they've just dispatched two of the four highest payrolls in baseball, back-to-back series, the Yankees and the Astros, and now they'll take on the Dodgers, one of the other highest payrolls in baseball. So if the Rays end up winning the World Series, they would have the 28th highest payroll and would have knocked out three of the top four highest payrolls if they win the World Series. How could you not love that? How could you not love that? I just love their temperament. I love their attitude. I love their ability to game seven, to have coughed away three games and still not seemingly have pressure on them. In game seven, they didn't play like they had the pressure on them. They played like it was just another game. And okay, just another chance for us to clinch. We'll do it. We'll clinch. And the types of players that do this for these guys, Arozarena, Zunino, Kiermaier. I mean, it's just like, who are these guys? And it's also sweet justice that the winner in game seven, the winning pitcher, was Charlie Morton. Because Mraz once upon a time called him, quote, my Uncle Rufus. Charlie Morton, when he was on the Astros, Mraz scoffed at him, my Uncle Rufus. And then Charlie Morton ends up clinching game seven to go to the World Series and has a dominant outfit, a dominant effort. And Mraz just has to eat it. I know you don't like the Rays. So does that mean you're now rooting for the Dodgers in the World Series?
Uncle Rufus? Die hard Dodgers fan this week. Die hard. Wearing all the blue, can't get enough. And by the way, Bogus might be able to correct me on this. I believe Charlie Morton has more career either Game 7 wins or winner-take-all wins than any other pitcher in Major League history now.
Uncle Rufus?
He's like 4-0 maybe in Game 7s or something like that.
Is he really that dominant?
He's Mr. Big Game now. Uncle Rufus, who we didn't hear of a couple years ago, now since then, I believe the stat was just 4-0, and it's either game sevens or if it's combined with the first round, winner take alls, and that's more than double however the most wins were. It was like two previously.
Madison Bumgarner with a little dash of Bob Gibson and a little sprinkle of Jack Morris.
The greatest big game pitcher of all time is Charlie Morton, apparently. Uncle freaking Rufus, which is just ridiculous. And yes, I'm a Dodger fan, but how could you have any confidence that the Dodgers, who can't get over the hump ever now, aren't going to implode in a World Series where the bullpen advantage is so much in the favor of the Rays, and they don't care. The Rays don't care who they're playing, who you are, and what your payroll is, and they clearly don't care when they're on the cusp of collapsing a 3-0 series lead. They just get right back off the mat. How could you not have confidence of the Rays winning the series?
Isn't it amazing that in Game 7 they played like they had no pressure on them? If this was a normal baseball team with a normal baseball season, the pressure on a team that had just coughed up 3-0 would be crushing.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushing. And they were the ones that seemed loosey-goosey in Game 7.
And even when it got to 4-2 and they were choking away and they have this Fairbanks, and he's just sitting there, he has this face of bewilderment. I'm surprised he's not a meme. And he's just delivering strikes and getting out of it. Okay, I'm getting guys on. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get out of it. There's no sense of panic, no sense of overmanaging from Kevin Cash. Oh, he has a runner on. Let me pull him out. He's got this blank stare that you have no confidence in the world, and he gets it done. It's just that team is the perfect temperament for October. It's ridiculous.
How dare you hate them?
DA, again, I follow the Rays because they're in the Yankees division. They are a dirty team.
Oh,
they are
stop.
A dirty, cheap, and you said this wasn't a word, they're a cheap-shotting team.
It's not
all they
a
do
word.
Is bean people. That this is all they do. They are dirty. That's
I
what started
them,
the whole Yankee thing.
I didn't see them bean anybody in this series
of
against
course,
the Astros.
Of course, because the lights are on now. During the regular season, that's all they do. They try to intimidate you by throwing high in. And that's why the Yankees and Rays hate each other, because all they do is hit Yankees. And Chapman finally paid him back. And they're, how could Chapman do that? Well, you guys haven't been paying attention to what's happened the last 3 years. That's why. And they're a dirty, dirty team. They play dirty. I don't like them.
Did they throw high against any Yankees in the ALDS?
Yes, they did, actually. Brett Gardner, if you remember correctly. But, of course, that wasn't a lead. So they hate the Yankees, and that's fine. So if they hate us, I'm going to hate them. That's it.
But they didn't.
Dodgers.
They didn't throw high in seven games of the ALCS.
Okay, so maybe it's a Yankee thing. Maybe it's just they're dirty against the Yankees. I don't know what to tell you. All I'm telling you is their history. The lights are on the ALCS. Also, the ALCS is not the time to play dirty. The regular season, when you want to mix it up in May, suddenly, you know, you want to pop out your chest. It's a little different in October, DA.
So if people don't have a rooting interest, Rays and Dodgers, they could either side with you and root for the Dodgers or side yes. against you and root for the Rays.
So knowing that sentence, if it's as easy as you've laid it out, everybody will be siding with the Rays because we know how this works on this
show. Let's go Rays! Let's go Rays!
Do you want more of that from Dick Vitale? Or do you want the Dodgers to win?
Yeah, when you tweeted that they were a cheap shotting team, S-H-O-T-T-I-N-G. Shotting is not a thing.
Okay, but how would you say that? How would you formulate that sentence?
All a team they do full is... of cheap shot artists.
You know, see, that's the problem with words, DA. Now I got to add artists to it? That's not artistry as being a cheap shotter. Cheap shotting should just be taken like, yeah, all they do is a bunch of cheap shotting. Cheap shot artists? You want to use that but mock me when I said I was a sandwich artist?
Okay, how about just saying they take a lot of cheap shots?
That I could live with. If I don't have to use the word artist or artistry, I could live with that. So I'll go back and I'll reformulate that sentence again when they win the World Series. They're a team full of cheap shot. No, wait, what'd you say?
They take a bunch of cheap shots.
Okay. Why can't shotters be a word? Why not? Who made that rule? Webster?
Well, because if you take a lot of shots, you're a shooter. So would you call them cheap shooters?
I guess that then there comes the question, is a shot different?
Do you consider Steph Curry a great three-point shotter?
You're right. You know, you're right. They're cheap shooters. Okay. All right. Lesson learned. They're a bunch of cheap shooters.
You are a dummy.
We talked our way through that, though. That was a good example. That's a good teacher.
The Tampa Bay Rays are a bunch of cheap shooters.
It does sound stupid, but in reality, that's the way you would use it. You're right.
Okay. Hooked on phonics every morning here on the DA Show.
Didn't work for him.
When we come back, your best audio of the day, Kirk Cousins after another awful effort. And one of the Red Zone hosts tries to explain a butt interception. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember, you can always watch us as well on watchda.com. That's available on any device, anywhere. Watch us if you use the radio.com app. You can watch us within the app. Or on Twitch. We have our own Twitch channel. Watch us there at the CBS Sports Radio channel. We begin with the Cleveland Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski, getting blown out by the Steelers. He benched Baker Mayfield in the second half. Here's why.
I didn't want to see him get hit one more time. And that's, I put that on myself. Went into this game knowing we had to keep him clean and we didn't do a good enough job. So that starts with me, obviously. And he's a very, very tough player. And I know he wants to fight, but it's a long season. We got a game next week and I didn't feel like it was the right thing to put him back out there.
We had two examples of this. Teams that were locked in potential playoff matchups. And their starting quarterbacks being yanked. We saw Aaron Rodgers yanked at the end of the Packers and Bucks game. And we saw Baker Mayfield yanked at the end of the Steelers game. And it wasn't really even the end. It was midway through the second half. I understand why Stefanski did it. I understand that it makes no sense in a blowout loss to keep your starting quarterback out there getting hit. And I understand, like Matt LaFleur had to decide with Aaron Rodgers against a physical, imposing, good pass rush, why let him take hits? I mean, the Steelers have one of the best defenses in football. But there was also a harsh reality, and that was that when it mattered, Baker Mayfield was once again not up to the challenge. When it mattered, Baker still threw a pick six. When it mattered, the game was still in doubt. Baker Mayfield, again, threw another INT, which set up a short field goal. When it mattered in this game, Baker looked like he didn't belong. And Pittsburgh has a great defense. But it really gives you pause and makes you wonder, is Mayfield ever going to be good enough to elevate that team against really good teams? Or is he always going to be just a notch below that where, look, this is a good start to the season for Cleveland. They're 4-2. You don't have to apologize for that. But against the two best teams in their division that have owned the division for the better part of 20 years, the Steelers and the Ravens, they've gotten blown out. Their two losses are two blowout losses to the team that they're chasing. So they're good enough to beat teams like the Cowboys, but they're not even good enough to compete with the Ravens or Steelers. And part of that is on Baker Mayfield. He has been bad in those two games. Here is Kirk Cousins, speaking of bad quarterbacking, as the Vikings get pounded yesterday by the Falcons. Here's Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
You just have to play well, you know, in this business. And the reality is if the pace, you know, that I'm on in terms of the interceptions, if that were to continue, you know, I won't finish the season.
Could you just imagine being a Vikings fan? I talk about the poor people of Minnesota a lot. They just have nothing to root for sports-wise. The Wild in the state of hockey just keeps letting them down. The Timberwolves are always awful. Terrible management. Busted draft picks all over the place. The Twins tease you in the regular season. Can't win game in October. Game. And the Vikings give all of this money to Kirk Cousins, and he gives you this. Just throwing INTs. Terrible squad. I mean, when the Vikings beat you, you fire your coach. That's what the Texans did. Oh, the Vikings beat us, so we have to fire him. You can't survive that. And you've got to root for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins. Oh, Ned Flanders.
God said to Noah, build yourself an archy-archy.
The pain of being a Minnesota sports fan. The pain! The pain, bro! The pain! And finally, if you weren't watching Dolphins-Jets, I don't blame you. It was a really ugly affair. But there was a play where one of the Jets' defensive backs falls to the ground as a deep pass falls with him, and he pins the ball to his hip and then butt. He is on his front side on the ground, and he's pinning the ball to his butt. And it ends up being a good interception as the ball never touches the ground. If you were watching Red Zone with Scott Hansen last night, this is how Hansen described it in peak Hansen form.
Did you see this? Here we go. May covering Preston Williams, hand fighting there, thought he had it there, missed it, hits him in the rump, rolls it on his lower back to the cheek, squeezing it with the right hand, back to his back one more time, reaches the other hand behind and says, oh, look what I came up with. Are you kidding me?
Okay. The best part is this. Oftentimes, Scott Hansen seems like he's doing a radio broadcast. No, we're watching. We actually can see all of the things that you're describing right now. But also, he uses both rump and cheek. Rump and cheek. Okay? In that description. Whereas, how do we grade out the use of both rump and cheek doing a highlight?
See, I think rump, to me, is actually the funniest, cleanest way to mention the backside of one's body. So anytime somebody says rump, it's like seeing an animal talking in a car insurance commercial. It's going to get me holding my stomach laughing.
Huh.
And cheek, look, we all know we have four cheeks, right? So when you reference cheek in a manner of two of them where they're very funny, again, I'm a sucker for that. You know me. Any kind of backside humor, you got me. So I think rump and cheek is, he nailed it, Scott Hansen.
Is it surprising he didn't just say butt?
Well, no, because if you say butt, like just going, oh, it's the butt interception, it's so taboo, right? It's so simple. Going rump
and cheek.
Well,
taboo and simple are two different words. But
are they? Okay, we won't stumble over that. Cheek and rump, to me, are getting more creative. It's getting inside your thesaurus. It's how can I come up with funnier words? And butt is, there's nothing to it. Yeah, butt doesn't make anybody laugh. Rump? Oh, we're holding our stomach.
Well, do you think that Scott Anson doesn't say butt there because he thinks that it's maybe a little offensive, that rump and cheek are more proper?
Scott Hansen goes loony sitting there for 8 hours every single Sunday. I'm sure he's just trying to get creative, have a little fun. How boring would it be, it touches his butt, he holds it around. No. Giving you a rump it's a rump. You know what I mean? He's more into saying rump. I think he says butt at home all the time, my guess would be. It's the rump now that gets more funny and more creative. He's an entertainer. Hey.
There's also a part of this interception where Scott Hansen gets really excited. It's right at the beginning where he goes, "Did you see this?" And his voice goes like 3 octaves higher. He's really excited about this interception. Really, really excited.
I kind of miss
Scott Hansen.
Don't
forget, too, guys, in that window, they only had Packers, Bucks, that Jets game. So he must have been going nuts from 4:30 on yesterday. And that game was already done at that point. So anything noteworthy is going to get his best effort from the Jets Dolphins yesterday.
Did you see this?
Did you see this? That is your sound check. Red Zone had itself a day yesterday. There are 2 different Red Zone channels, one for DirecTV subscribers, one for everybody else. The one for DirecTV subscribers has Andrew Siciliano, who has hosted every episode of it, every week of it since 2004, I believe, or 2005. Yesterday was the first time he has missed a week of Red Zone because he had tested positive for COVID, I think, earlier in the morning. He had negative tests up until then, but then a positive, which is interesting that Red Zone is testing these guys every single day. That's kind of amazing. I mean, you think CBS Sports Radio is doing that with us? Hell no. So Siciliano tests positive.
No, they let Jody Mack come to work every day for 3 years.
Yeah, can we test for black
lung? There's a guy with a leaf blower. There's a guy with a leaf blower in our vestibule just airing you, blowing you clean of germs on your way in. That's good enough.
I mean, seriously, NFL Network and Red Zone has a way higher budget and standards than we do. So that's the first part of it.
You feel good? Yep, come on in.
Come on in.
Here's a survey.
Mraz goes into the office like one time every 4 months. He's like, "Do I need a hazmat suit?" No. You're fine with that swab. Just wipe down the desk. You should be fine over there. Yeah. Meantime, Siciliano's getting tested every 2 hours like he's inside the NBA bubble.
Here's a 1-ply paper towel and Costco brand Lysol. Have at it.
Wipe it down yourself, Mraz. Yeah.
Eat the wipe. That'll be good enough.
Yeah. Every day, Bilotti shows up to work looking like Homer Simpson at the nuclear factory, where he has like that giant suit on and he's holding things with gloves.
Now I glow.
Yeah, now Bilotti's been at the office so long, he's glowing now. So Siciliano tests positive, which means they've got to put Dan Helly into the mix. So Helly ends up getting the first Red Zone replacement start in 15 years. And then the late NFL schedule is clearing the deck for Rodgers, Brady, Packers, and Bucks, which means there's only one game on against them, which is Jets and Dolphins. And so once the Packers and the Bucks became a blowout, there was nothing to show for Red Zone. They had like an hour and a half of doing sideline interviews from guys earlier in the day. I saw an interview with Derrick Henry, an interview with Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, they never do that because there's always some action going on in the late window. They had nothing. They're just running highlights of the earlier games. They're showing like 15 uninterrupted minutes of a terrible Jets and Dolphins game. I mean, it was a rough day. I mean, so you're right, Mraz. Scott Hansen's got to go crazy because one fun thing happened in the Jets and Dolphins game.
It's unbelievable. I'm actually shocked you even went Red Zone at that point. We had both games in New York, and it was dreadful. I made a big ice cream run in the third quarter of Bucks Packers. Once I saw Rodgers was tapping out, I said, enough of that. I got to get some crumb cake ice cream in me.
What? So you got crumb cake ice cream?
Well, see what happened. I got another apple pie, third straight week with an apple pie with all these farm visits, which I'm done. Enough with the farms. Uh-huh. Had another apple pie. Had no ice cream when I opened the freezer. So there's a local, you know, fancy ice cream place, and they make this great crumb cake ice cream. So I said, we're going to do the crumb cake on the apple pie. We're going to get real creative here.
What's a crumb cake ice cream? Does it have crumb cake in it?
Yeah, like crumb cake crumbles within the ice cream. It's like a homemade ice cream parlor.
So it's a vanilla ice cream with crumb cake in it?
Swirled in kind of deal, a little cinnamon flavor to it. So we were throwing that on the apple pie. So I was going to wait till after the Bucks-Packers game, and obviously the Jet game was over. I made the run, got there, got right back on my couch for the time Tua was checking in, but I never do that during a window, but every game was out of hand, so there was no need for red zone for me. I had to get that ice cream. It was a quick 10-minute trip. In the midst of it, by the way, it should be noted, I did hear Rich Ackerman doing the Eye on Football with Jody Mack. That's a heck of a duo on Sundays on CBS Sports Radio.
It's not new, Mraz. This has been going on for 8 years.
Ack was making a huge case during that blowout of why the Bucs are the best team in the NFC and pointed to their wins now over the Packers and the Saints. I did have to text Ack and remind him. I know you might be going crazy next to Jody Mack. The Bucs did not win that game one
good job.
Win. And I was getting texts from
Eye on Football.
I got texts from Ack till like midnight going, I can't believe I made that mistake on the air.
So Mraz left the couch on an NFL Sunday for the first time in 9 years to finally hear our programming. And the one thing that he heard was the host mistakenly saying that the Bucks beat the Saints.
Good show.
Right. What are you saying this morning, Chief?
That's like Mike and Amanda, Jody Mackinac. That's a great Sunday show. That combo, what better can you get? You guys are all watching Red Zone. You got to get into Ack and Jody. They're taking it flying around. We got guys in Tampa. We got guys in Miami. Everything's happening. Jordan Rodriguez previewing the Rams game. We got a lot going on.
You need to be listening to that because you didn't even know that they did the show. I did know that they did the show.
That's a power couple.
And chose not to listen.
That's a power couple. That's a good Sunday.
Number two, I'm with you because, in fact, I was driving one of the weeks earlier in the football season, and I really wanted an update on the games. And I was only getting ESPN radio on my radio, and they're just talking about games. They're not giving you any updates. It's really maddening. They're only discussing, like, in-depth analysis of games that already happened. And I'm like, no, I want updates of what is happening. I'm like, I need Eye on Football. So I had to pop on the radio.com app. Boom, Eye on Football. I had Ack and Jody Mack giving me going live out to sites, giving me score updates. It's way better because I can get analysis anywhere. What I need is live updates of what is happening in the games. And Eye on Football delivers it.
So there you go. Two blowouts, 4 o'clock window, leads to crumb cake ice cream on apple pie, leads to Ack and Jody being discovered. That's a big late window in the NFL yesterday.
Rich Ackerman.
Let me tell you, if
Jody
ever,
finally discovered.
If there was ever a need for a afternoon drive tandem on some major affiliate somewhere.
Oh, lock them up.
Mack and Ack.
You even got the name for the programming. Get this guy a PD job. He's thought about it. Mack and Ack. And by the way, one guy who can't stop coughing and the other guy who hates germs. That, to me, just throw it on TV as well.
The Odd Couple.
All right.
Perfect.
What's CBS Sports Network showing yesterday? Bull riding? Get those two on a camera all day shooting around.
That's right.
I don't want to blow your mind, but there used to be a show on satellite radio with Jody Mack and a guy named Brian McGovern, and they were the Mack and Mack Sports Attack. There's a lot going on with that name.
Wow. Well, oh. Mack and Mack Attack. Wow.
4227.
All right. AB has our headline of this morning, Mr. Bogues. Good morning.
Guys, good morning. So we were all geared up for that Packers-Bucks game yesterday afternoon, and it was over by halftime.
Rodgers takes the snap, 3rd and 10, drops, pressure coming against the pass. It's intercepted, picked off down the sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Tampa Bay! Buccaneers, Jamal Dean! First turnover of the season by the Pack, and it's a pick six.
From cake ice cream for everybody, Gene Deckerhoff on Bucks Radio. The pick six started a 28-0 second quarter for Tampa Bay. There was a second Aaron Rodgers pick in there. The Bucs cruising to a 38-10 win. First loss of the season for the Pack. Tom Brady, 2 touchdown passes, 1 to Rob Gronkowski. The Steelers just as impressive with a 38-7 thrashing of the Browns, but Mike Tomlin isn't getting carried away.
we're not into statements. We'll let you guys make the statements. We're just going to line up and play against those that we're scheduled to play against. And they were next.
He's just the best. He really is. Pittsburgh is
5-0
for the set. He
has nailed that act. I mean, he has done the act for so long. He knows exactly how the act goes. You could play a Mike Tomlin press conference post-game after any win or any loss. He will have said the same exact thing. We're not into statements. Okay, we'll let you guys do that. All right, we're just here to play the next football game. Whoever on the schedule we're going to play. We're just here to take care of our own business. We'll let you guys do the rest. It's like, was that after a 70-point win or a 70-point loss? I have no idea.
But what I appreciate is if most coach speak is like on a fifth grade level, he's at like seventh grade. Like he just sprinkles in a little bit different syntax, knows how to use taboo, stuff like that. And it makes it just a little bit better of him saying nothing.
Yeah. And he's also going to use like some weird like footballism. You know, like earlier today, we had our eyes pinned open. And, you know, it just led to a big fourth quarter for us. And we'll let you guys decide just how good we are. And you're like, all right, I'm ready to go now.
His team is 5-0 for just the second time ever. The Titans 5-0 as well. After sneaking past the Texans 42-36 in overtime, they tied the game with 4 seconds left in regulation, then won it on Derrick Henry's 5-yard run. On Sunday Night Football, the Niners cooled off the Rams 24-16. LA had won two in a row. They tried to get closer, but Cooper Kupp dropped the touchdown pass in the end zone, and Jared Goff was picked off in that end zone. The Eagles suffered two more significant injuries yesterday. Tight end Zach Ertz hurt an ankle. Running back Miles Sanders needs a knee MRI. Philly was down 17-0 and 30-14, but only lost 30-28 to the Ravens when a two-point conversion failed with 1:55 left. Those 0-6 Jets, nice enough to set veteran nose tackle Steve McClendon free. He gets traded to the Bucks for a 2022 sixth-round pick.
The Dodgers were nice enough.
Yeah, seriously. The Dodgers, that, nice enough.
It was like Christmas Day for him in that trade.
Oh, yeah, really?
Jets to the Bucks.
No kidding.
The Dodgers down 3-1 in the NLCS. Rally and take game 7 last night, 4-3 from the Braves. All that's left for them is optimism. Here's first baseman Freddie Freeman.
This is the start of something special for a long time. It hurts right now. It really does. This moment sucks. But the Atlanta Braves organization is set up for success for a very long time.
Freeman's team led 2-0 and 3-2 last night at Arlington. He lost a homer to a jumping Mookie Betts in the fifth inning, then watched Cody Bellinger crush a tie-breaking solo shot in the seventh. This is the Dodgers' third World Series in 4 seasons. It begins tomorrow night against the Rays. Purdue football coach Jeff Brohm with a presumed COVID-19 positive. His Boilermakers opened their season Saturday against Iowa. Joey Logano won the NASCAR playoff race at Kansas. And Doc Emrick, the voice of the NHL, is retiring. DA, back to you.
That's brutal for hockey. I wish it didn't happen on an NFL Monday because we could spend an entire show talking about the brilliance, the greatness of Doc Emrick. Not one of the great hockey announcers ever, one of the great announcers, one of the great sports broadcasters ever. That's a huge loss for hockey. Hopefully we'll have more time later on in the week to discuss his legacy because, my goodness. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with the early games featuring two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe. Big Ben of the Steelers head to Tennessee to take on Tannehill and the Titans. And then later on in the day, most of you will see the 49ers turn their season around against the Patriots, or if they can, while others will watch the Chiefs battle the Broncos. We get you set for the day's action, NFL Today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday, the NFL on CBS. When we return, it's a momentous Monday, an inspirational story in sports. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're found it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
So on Saturday, it was an ugly day for Syracuse football as they got pounded by the Liberty Flames, which certainly was not what they intended. as Liberty has been a recent addition to the FBS level, and they went to the Carrier Dome and got an easy victory. But in that game, there was an inspiring story for the Orange. That was their quarterback, Rex Culpepper, who was starting in place of the injured Tommy DeVito. Culpepper has long locks. He has long hair, almost looks like a Trevor Lawrence type of hair. And the reason is that Rex Culpepper lost all of his hair due to chemotherapy. As a young man, he dealt with testicular cancer. And so he lost all of his hair. And the moment that his chemo was done, he began growing his hair again. So the reason he has these long flowing locks is he has not cut his hair since his chemo was over. He ended up beating it, which is amazing. But he also has a number of stripes tattooed on his body, which is every day that he had chemo treatment. A reminder, there's a dash on his side for every one of those days. He is such a bright kid. He is such a well-liked kid. He's such a smart individual that the team loves him, the coaches love him. But Rex Culpepper is a guy that probably never was supposed to have a chance to even start at the Division I Power Conference level after what he went through, overcoming testicular cancer at that age and really going through a brutal couple of bouts of chemotherapy. But Rex did it, and through the injury to the starting quarterback, was the starting quarterback on Saturday and will likely be so the rest of the season for Syracuse. An amazing story of just remaining positive and remembering that there are always brighter days ahead. And as dark as it might seem, you can overcome it. And I thought that was such a cool story that Culpepper ended up getting a start under center at quarterback for an ACC team after what he had gone through from a health situation that really left quite an indelible mark, obviously, on his life. Culpepper's also one of these crazy talented athletes that also plays the piano. And he's just a really smart individual as well in terms of, you know, his education and as a student. So cool to see him, even if he took the loss on Saturday. Every Monday, we do a little inspirational sports story in honor of Little Mo. You can hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, I don't know who the hell that Dennis guy was that tweeted you a million times last night, but you need to let that guy know that I'm the only D-Alien that tweets the show 30 times. That's my territory. Step off, or I'm going to send my pet attack raccoon to take care of some business. Hashtag get him out. Dennis told us, or at least tweeted me last night, that the girls in his family, in his household, love Bogues, that he's trying to his best to tone it down. But we don't have any details of if the girls are, you know, young girls, if they like look at Bogues like he's the Beatles, if these are older women and he's like their pool boy. We don't know exactly the context here. Rob the 321 says, I don't know. I think I'm the guy that tweets you guys even more than that. Whereas if you had to pick Dixieland Dan or Rob the 321, who tweets more at you?
Probably Rob in the 321. But maybe that's just because, frankly, he annoys me a lot more than Dixieland Dan does when he tweets me.
Rob tell you to stand down? Didn't he tell you to take a lap?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what really has set me off. I've really soured since. And now he's DMing me all the time. Hey, just relax. Everybody just let's relax.
By the way, speaking of the D-Aliens, I saw that Moose, not Mark Malusis, but our listener Moose, our faithful listener, was back on the grind doing Up the Gut Foods this week on Instagram.
He was. He made the Dr. Pepper pulled pork sliders, which you missed when your power outage went out on Friday. And apparently they came out great. He got himself a pork shoulder. He got in there and he slow cooked them and he loved them.
So you put a pork shoulder in the slow cooker and then put a can of Dr. Pepper in there?
Two cans Dr. Pepper. Can't be the diet because you need the sugars. Jar of whatever your favorite barbecue sauce is, a couple spices you want in there. 10 hours slow cooking. The sugars and the cherryness from the Dr. Pepper soak into that pork with the barbecue. Fantastic.
I love Dr. Pepper. I don't drink Dr. Pepper a lot, but I do love Dr. Pepper when I do have it. It's just so delicious on like a hot summer day. So I kind of like this play. And then do you put, I know you were a big Hawaiian bun guy for pulled pork. Is that where you're going to put this?
Yes. The Hawaiian roll sliders. Yes. King's Hawaiian. Oh man. Now I want them again.
Okay. Oh. Dr. Pepper pulled pork sliders. How about that? Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. More on NFL Week 6 next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.